What's going on, people? Welcome back to the Baby Fathers Podcast for our brand new episode. I'm your co-host and I go by the name of DJ Riddler from Live Links. And I just want to say to everybody, before we even start, I'd just like to just say, apologize that we haven't been around for a little while. Basically down to that. Obviously, I caught COVID. I was in a bad way and the recovery took a bit longer than I expected. All right. But look, we're back now. And so I have a special guest with me today. He goes by the name of Kane. How you doing, Kane?
I'm good. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for bringing me on, bro.
I just want to say thank you for even coming on because I know it was last minute. I literally, just before we even start, I got about 4 to 5 messages in my phone. So I said to myself, I read what you said, obviously, in it. We're going to talk about it. Yeah. And obviously, it touched, man. I sent out the team to find who you were. Yeah. He's trying to engage you.
Went on a manhunt for me.
100%. And by within the first 2-3 hours, I was able to get, obviously, contact you with a number and XO. So I'm going to big up to everyone who obviously made this happen today as well for you to come at short notice, all right? So I'm going to kind of talk about your story, right? Because obviously it's a touching story and I feel like this is a story that kind of needs to be put out there. All right, now, obviously you're a father.
Yeah.
Before we actually get into that crazy story, what was the situation between you and your mum?
Always on and off. Always very toxic on both of our parts. I can put my hands up and say, sometimes for the first couple of years, on and off, it was also me. I played a pivotal role in both of us as parents as not stepping up and doing what we needed to as mother and father.
Okay.
Not anyone separately. So it was always up and down and it was always not breeding the results that are beneficial to the child, which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So the relationship was very, very hard, very hard, very toxic.
Obviously you put out a campaign.
Yep.
GoFundMe. Tell us about that story.
I may get some dates wrong because there's a lot of information to push out, but at the same time, I hope you stick with me.
Okay.
So basically in the end of 2020, for that year, I and my partner, we'd come together more or less in the beginning of 2020, sat down. We were trying to be amicable, trying to co-parent and do what's best for the greater good, being my daughter. And we sat down and we organised a plan as to where I'd see her at the mother's discretion when she felt like it was good enough, because I wanted to show her that I could effectively co-parent.
Okay.
That I would be able to see her maybe 2 to 3 times a week or whenever she had spare time and could work it into her schedule. I was more than happy to do that. Mm. I did tell her that I'm more than happy to pursue the court route. And she told me what I believed at the time was we both wanted to work it out. We was on the same page.
Yeah.
This was for our daughter. Lo and behold, that weren't the situation. Throughout the year, when my daughter was younger, just to go off on a quick small tangent, when my daughter was younger, I wasn't the greatest dad.
Okay.
I'll say it straight right now. I was not. There were times I could have done more, and I didn't. I was always there. I was always ready to be the father, and I did everything pregnancy-wise. I was there for the birth. I've always tried to be a part of her life actively.
Yeah.
But I think it stems from me not being able to give what the mother wants in case of what my daughter needs.
So that was like an early part of the stage when she was born and stuff.
Yeah, so before she was born and then after she was born, literally 2 months after she was born, maybe the 3-month mark, I split up with her. I left because it was a very toxic relationship. Okay. Neither of us were working in the benefit or the direction of betterment for our daughter. So we split up. From there, it went left.
Okay.
Everything went left. A lot of things happened. And we've spent the majority of our life in and out of court, arguing with each other.
What was the first time you experienced going to court and for what reasons?
The first time I experienced court, I was 21. Mm-hmm. I had taken my daughter from her mother's care. I and other people around me, who were all present, all saw factors of what I believe. If she may not agree with it, that's completely fine. But postpartum, depression, if I'm saying that correctly. Okay. Obviously, I'm pretty sure she's got a I'm factually sure that she's got a history of mental health. Mm-hmm. I have suffered with mental health myself, so I don't think that helped either.
Yeah.
The long-term decision of having children together, but my daughter's here anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think everything that happened, it was just in the wrong way. Everything was done wrong.
So what made you decided that you wanted to go for full custody for your daughter?
So the first time I took her off of her, I wanted to go for full custody because I wholeheartedly didn't believe that she was looking after her, putting her first.
Okay.
And this is something that our inner circle of friends, acquaintances have all been able to see it.
Okay.
It's specifically her that does not see it. And I don't mean to say that out of malice, is it?
Yeah.
I'm Dan talking now. I mean, everyone, her entire support network, her family, her friends, they have all abandoned her because of the behaviour that has led up to the disgusting situation, honestly, that my child is in right now.
So when you went caught the first time, did you get custody of your daughter?
So I didn't get sole custody. What happened was she dropped her off to me at my mother's in a poor state. Mm. She had no means to look after her, as by way of clothes, formula. She dropped her off in a car seat and there was nothing there. Any mother or father or anyone with common sense would see that she's not being looked after properly. So I took her off her, had her by myself. I parented my daughter from, I believe, the age of 5.5 to 6 months. For around 3.5, 4 months, maybe okay. 5 at a push. I could be getting that wrong, so don't hold
okay. me. And then did the mum take the...
She took me to court.
Okay, so she took you to court after.
So that was my first experience. After I first took her, she applied for what is called a C-100, which is a child application form.
Mm-hmm.
She put it into the court. She was the application maker. I was the respondent.
Okay.
We went to court. I provided evidence, and the judge ruled in my favour that my daughter did not have to go back to her on that specific day.
Okay.
So I was left with custody of my daughter, and we had more or less a 50-50 split of co-parenting. So she was to spend a few nights with me a week and then a few nights with her mother.
After that happened, what then happened next?
So, admittedly, like I've said to you prior, at that time, I wasn't the most stable father. Mm. And like I said myself, I wasn't making the best choices, but I was sticking to the contact agreement. But it was always a thing of where she would make a demand that I can't meet.
Yeah.
And that would cause a breakdown. And then I would say something. I'd make a demand as if it could be something as simple as, I want you to pick her up at this time. And I counter with, oh, well, I can't do that time. Could I do half an hour later? And then it comes down to, oh, well, you're disrespecting me. You're not putting your daughter first. Your priorities are out of whack. When in reality, that's the definition of co-parenting.
Yeah. It's
two people who have had a child that need to sit down, be amicable, and be able to work things out peacefully. Rather than, you're this and rare, and you're that, and then the whole bickering starts.
Yeah.
So we ended up in court, contact order, and a child arrangements order was put in place. It was upheld for maybe 5.5 to 6 months.
Okay.
And then the last time I saw my daughter, I dropped her off to my ex-partner's father.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew then that because there had been consistent breakdowns within the contact order that was laid out, and we were just not seeing eye to eye.
At the time, yeah.
At the time, anyone with common sense could see down the road, long term, this is never going to be something that's going to be feasible. My ex-partner has a history of, if I do anything wrong, if I don't meet her standards, it could be financial, it could be, and we're not talking like, she doesn't ask for the world, but if I say, for example,
you can't give it today, I can give it next week.
The next week,
yeah.
Or can you get this? I can't get it this way, but I can get it that way.
Yeah.
And I will do it. That is an automatic assumption of, oh, well, you're not willing to do what you need to do for your child. Yeah. When in reality, I'm just trying to work with you.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a prevalent problem. It always has been. I genuinely believe, and again, it's not out of malice, I'm not trying to shame her, I believe that it's not about the life of my daughters, but her life.
Mm.
It's about what she wants. And not all women are like that, because some fathers are arseholes.
Of course, let's keep it real.
You got to keep it real. The world isn't black and white. Mm. It's grey and
it's a mix of colours, man.
Multitude of colours, yeah.
I'm going to fast forward. So your daughter went to St. Lucia.
Yeah.
Right. So from St. Lucia, what then happened over there?
Right. So she was taken to St. Lucia on a holiday with, I believe, a partner, my ex-partner, her partner, and my ex-partner's friend. They all went on a holiday, and during the holiday, apparently something happened. The holiday was cut short. When the holiday was cut short, they came back. I was informed of what happened. It broke every bone in my body.
Okay. Without going into in depth, can you give us, like, shine some light exactly what happened out there?
It's a situation that a child should never be put in. I'm not going to go into it further.
Okay.
But it's a situation a child should never be put in. It's a situation that a mother, especially... No, in fact, I'm not going to do that. It's a situation no parent, man or female, should ever put their child in or ever allow that to come forward. And I think that it speaks fathoms of the parental choices that someone makes. Because as much as the things she said about me, the things that I've done myself, I've never put my daughter in danger. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy to do that. As much as the outer appearance may make you think, maybe it's waffling, I can say from my heart, I'm not that type of guy.
Your daughter went on holiday.
Yeah.
She obviously is still there.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So she went on holiday. The situation happened. My ex-partner came back with my daughter. A lot of people had reported her behaviour to the police, to social services, to any relevant body that involves children. Because even without the situation, people, i.e. her family, her own mother, her own siblings, all her friend, every social circle she runs in could clearly see that what I'd been saying for years is fact. And so basically, she was in St. Lucia. Whatever happened, happened. She came back. It was reported. Everything was investigated. She then realised the severity of her actions, and she knew that there was a higher possibility of her losing my daughter within the UK, especially with the years of evidence and proof that I've garnered of dealing with the mental abuse, physical abuse, and emotional abuse on my part, but not even really me, because it's not about me right now. It's about my child. When she realised the situation was so severe, she fled. So she was probably here back a week, and then she was around her friends. Her friends noticed that she wasn't behaving as a mother should, especially given the circumstances. She fled back to St. Lucia because the social services were getting involved within the UK. When she fled back to St. Lucia, again, she disappeared.
Did she take her daughter back to St. Lucia?
Yeah, she took my daughter back to St. Lucia with her in fear that she would have lost her over here, which is the situation. So when she's fled back to St. Lucia, she's gone over there and she's more or less disappeared for a short period. And I'm talking, for me, this just for me here at this point, I had her best friends who have never spoken to me, who have kept me out of the loop and have enabled her behaviour because of her lies.
Yeah.
So imagine my situation when social media is abuzz, people talk, and everyone's getting in contact with me. As if I'm the one.
So they're reaching out to you?
Yeah, they're all reaching out to me. I'm having random females reach out to me over social media saying, do you know what's going on with your ex-partner? We're all really worried about her and your daughter, what we're seeing over social media, what we're seeing on Facebook and Snapchat.
So what kind of behaviour was she displaying for people to be kind of worried? Without going so deep, but...
Yeah. So the behaviour she was showing and exhibiting is... just nonchalant, like worrying things like you don't do around children, i.e. Walking around naked around in the apartment complex she was staying at, threatening her friends and family over social media in the UK, threatening children. And this is all facts, it's all over social media. So she's threatening children, her friends' children, people who have helped her in dark times. So this is clearly a cry for help. This is clearly a mental decline brought on by I can't say what.
Of course.
I don't know her everyday life, but clearly she's had a mental decline and she hasn't known how to deal with it. And she has then allowed that behavior to spill out in front of my daughter. So there's a myriad of things.
And it's one of the reasons why social services was getting involved.
This is why social services in the UK was getting involved. And this is why a lot of her own friends. So this before, obviously, she disappeared.
Okay.
So I wasn't even aware of the situation. I'm in the UK thinking, okay, she's disappeared again. This has been reported. I'm now going to go turn into a madman. Because I could do this two ways. I could be a fool and put my wrong foot forward and jeopardize my daughter not having only one poor parent, but two.
Yeah.
By a split decision. Or I could do what I did. I started going to charities. I started going to childcare charities. I approached the social services in the UK and St. Lucia. I approached the St. Lucian police. I approached the UK police. I got an active investigation put out. And I began to use and utilize every single avenue I could. I also had my battle axe of a mother behind me,
yeah,
who I love to death, so she helped me as well. And I had a good couple people behind me, even one of her previous friends that had seen the behavior over years and had tried to effectively help her, but it was always a lost cause.
So just trying to work out, just trying to put this story together,
yeah,
right? So you obviously, they was over here.
Yeah.
They went to St. Lucia, came back from St. Lucia,
yep,
found out that the social service was involved.
Yep.
And obviously they could maybe take the child off her. So she then flew back to St. Lucia.
Yep.
When she was in St. Lucia, how long was she out there for then?
So from August last year up until the 8th of December when she was arrested, when she decided to leave my daughter in St. Lucia and come back.
Okay.
So she was over there from August, September, October, November, December. So what, 4 months? Just over 4 months. She had tried to run out there and create a new life and just forget about everything that had happened over here.
Yeah.
So while she was out there, as I said, mental decline, everything like that happened. And then it led up to the eventual of her being forcibly sectioned within St. Lucia. And my daughter being taken into government-sanctioned childcare. Because obviously, even though I was aware of the situation in the UK, there's a whole legal system you have to circumvent.
Yeah.
This isn't as simple. I've had my own boys and people come up to me and go, boy, if that was me, I would have jumped on a plane and done this and that. And you're not going to get nowhere like that, bro.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. There's a whole legal system set up against specifically people like me and you.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as simple as me going over there and just appearing. And because of the people my ex-partner had put my daughter around, there was no available adult for her to go into care with. So the necessary situation was to put her into childcare.
So she went into childcare in St. Lucia?
Yeah.
So once she's there now in childcare in St. Lucia, what then did you then do after? What process did you then start to take?
So obviously I went to the county court.
Okay.
While this was all ongoing, while she was out there and displaying the erratic behaviour, because I wanted to have things in place for the eventual return of my child. So I went to county court and got a order that's temporarily adjourned until my daughter's back. I went to the High Court as well and tried to petition them to get involved and execute something known as a return order.
Fortunately, yeah,
they couldn't, because obviously St. Lucia isn't part of the Hague Agreement.
Okay.
So there's no forcible return for abducted children.
Yeah.
So that didn't work. I approached charities. They couldn't do anything. I approached solicitors and got advice. They could only tell me, Mr. Smith, you have to go and present yourself to St. Lucia and you need to be assessed as a viable parent for her to come and live with you, because that is their end goal. So I was doing everything within my power. I was liaising with her friends, every type of the Home Office, social services, the police in two different countries. And I was representing myself, and I have been up until now.
Okay. Yeah. So talk us about how you went about going to these organizations.
So I've had a myriad of jobs over my life, and one of them was business admin. And I've always kind of had common sense. So, you know, Google is your best friend.
Yeah, of course. Even though, yeah.
Google is your best friend. Also, children's charities. are your best friends. So if you talk to them and you approach them and you use the system in your favor and you approach the right people, I got in contact with an organization called Reunite, which specializes in returning abducted children back to their birthplace of origin, being the UK. I contacted social services and more or less ran down every team member until I got senior members of staff, because you have to understand it's a lot of bureaucracy and a lot of people are just going to kick you back because one, colour, two, it's a file number and they've got 100 other adults on their table that they need to meet.
Yeah.
And as well as that, I got in contact with the police, the same police officer that was investigating the case. We're very close. We've been in constant contact trying to find all different types of ways to bring her home.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had no shame when it comes to my child.
Mm.
I'll do anything. Police, social services, cool. I know a lot of men, they don't want to step into that realm.
Yeah.
When you step into it, they look into you. They look into your life. They look into how you're going to provide, how you're going to look after your child. You have to be able to do everything. So if you're not ready to take that step, it's very crazy.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of obstacles in your way that you're going to have to circumvent. But I just put my first foot forward and I just kept going and I'm still going.
That's what I like to see, bro. Trust me, definitely. The next question I was going to bring up to you about your daughter in St. Lucia.
Yeah.
So she's in St. Lucia now. Have you been to St. Lucia yet?
I haven't been to St. Lucia yet. So basically, the reason why I've started the GoFundMe petition and why I've been getting it over social media is I and my family have exhausted every option. It's very expensive. Doing these things take a lot of time. And it gets to the point of where you're meeting so many brick walls and every avenue is pointing to me to having to go out there. I have tried to go out there on three occasions, but the St. Lucian social services have effectively blocked me from doing so, saying that it's not going to do anything.
I won't even get into the St. Lucia system at the moment.
Yeah.
So what is the St. Lucian system? Your daughter's over there.
Yeah.
Like she's staying with
a government sanctioned childcare.
So is she like with a family or is she in a...
No, she's in a children's home.
She's in a children's home with all other kids,
yeah.
Right? So, as a active father, you're putting yourself forward saying, my child is in St. Lucia.
Yeah.
I need my child to come back. I can come and get the child myself. Yeah. Why are they not letting you to take your child?
So, because of the situation her mother created, she's been made what's known as a ward of court. So, when you're made a ward of court, it effectively means that the court is saying, okay, we're seeing way too many outside factors that don't convince us that we don't need to step in and physically take the parental role.
Mm.
So right now, her mother doesn't have full jurisdiction over her. I don't. It's a case of one of us presenting ourselves to the court, proving everything we're saying, and bringing her back. So even with me trying to go over there, because that was my first thought.
Yeah.
My first thought, I sat down. Me and my family, we was all planning and patterning up to make sure, like, Rob, what can I do?
Of course.
But the woman who's in charge has directly told me that that's not going to help.
Mm.
And with that being said, so that's why I need to go over there.
Mm. Yeah. Is there a situation where a mum is created in St. Lucia?
Yeah.
And did they take the child off her when she was at the airport, or did they come to wherever she was staying and took the child off her?
So they came to where she was staying. She had barricaded herself into the property. She had more or less gone on a rant and rave over social media, going mad. She had a weapon in her hand, and there was cause to remove the child. It was clearly a dangerous environment. So they removed my daughter, and then she was sectioned forcibly for 2 weeks. Mm. I don't know how she was discharged over the two-week period, because clearly there needs to be some type of... If this was me in them boots, I wouldn't have been released. I wouldn't have been able to get discharged.
So... When she was in St. Lucia, was she planning to live out there or she was still there again on holiday?
No, her whole plan was to move out there and just disappear.
Okay.
It was just, she had broken so many, over the years, the myriad of lies and the situation she created, she had broken down all her personal networks.
Mm.
So her closest friends disowned her. Her family, more or less, I'm not sure about her grandfather or the grandmother, but everyone else... As far as I'm concerned, and as I know, they have all washed their hands of her because the things she's done and the behaviour she's shown is crazy. It's just crazy. Like, no one else would get away with it.
Yeah.
But where she's managed to keep people on the line, she's kept them in that web of lies, and now everything's crashing down. This is why it's been so severe, because everyone's like, Jesus Christ, how has this been going on for so long and we didn't actually know?
Yeah.
And it's all to the fact of, I quote the police officer, he said, she's very economical with the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was held over there for 2 weeks. She was discharged. She then tried to go about getting my daughter back from the St. Lucian authorities. Mm-hmm. I got in contact with her and I put an idea to her. So did a close friend. We said, you could go and approach the St. Lucian social services and pass over. You could give consent for me to go over there, present myself, bring her back, and it would have sped up the process. Out of spite, she said no. So that wasn't an option. So after that, I'll speed it up a bit because I know I can...
No, that's cool, bro. That's cool, man. That's cool.
So after that, after the two-week period of her being sectioned and her coming out and then approaching the court on two separate occasions, they denied her because clearly the history of abuse and neglect to the child. And while all of this was going on, I was in the background. I was just letting it unfold because, again, I've said it so many times already, right foot forward, innit?
Yeah.
So what I'd done is I drafted up a witness statement. I spoke to the police and she basically said while she was out there, no one was listening to her. No one's taking her in. So she can't put the lies forward anymore. Mm. You can't go and say, oh, this person's lying against me and this person, because there's like 30 people who have reported you to police and everyone. So she's kind of given up. I know as well that the things that her support, the few people that were supporting her were saying to her, they were saying things like, oh, well, your daughter's, she seems happy. She seems fine over there because my daughter's resilient. She, as much as everything bad has happened to her, it's all done with...
How old is she now?
5 years
old. Okay, five.
She turned five in St. Lucia on the 1st of the 1st. I couldn't spend... Couldn't spend her birthday with her. I've got a room full of toys that I can't give. So she tried to get her back over there. Failed, obviously. And when she's failed, she's kind of like she just threw her arms up and said, like, boy, I can't be us.
Yeah.
And she's basically told me, point blank, you need to step up and you need to go and get your daughter. And obviously, because of it, she doesn't understand how complex the situation is and everything I've been doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Things like this.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand what
we're trying to do.
What I'm trying to do. Yeah. What she's done, I've been trying to rectify it. And it's been so hard because every time I get five steps forward, she puts two brick walls in front of man.
Yeah.
Because she does some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
And she don't realise that what she thinks is gonna help our daughter is effectively blocking her future, because you've already discredited yourself. You've already moved all this mad and done all these things. So no one's going to take you seriously unless you're doing the right actions. I'm doing everything right.
So how long is your daughter now been in St. Lucia for?
Over 4 months.
4 months now, yeah. So this has been going on for 4 months. She's been stuck over there.
Yeah.
And at the moment, obviously they're not releasing her. Yeah. At the moment, they have blocked you.
Yeah.
So moving forward, you've put this GoFund page together, which is getting good support.
Traction, loads of people are helping. So, I can't believe it.
And I was just going to say thank you for the community for even doing that and coming together.
I'm not really a man who does stuff like this. So for me to even put myself forward and to see like the reaction of people I haven't spoken to in years.
Yeah.
People who, you know, like men, us as men and the place we come from.
Yeah. We don't express our feelings.
You don't really come out there and make yourself vulnerable. Mm. I've had people like, oh, I don't think you should have done that. And I respect it because not everyone has the same goal to do what I'm doing, innit?
Yeah.
Not everyone wants to make themselves vulnerable.
Yeah.
But if it's what I need to do for my child, it's what I need to do, hands down.
And obviously, when you're obviously raising this money, what are you raising the money for to what you need to be doing? What's the money going to be needed for?
So the money is for legal fees, accommodation, and minor upkeep. I also want to say, depending on the outcome of the situation, hopefully me bringing them back, my daughter, whatever is left, I plan to donate to a charitable organisation.
That's nice.
And I'm going to provide proof of it also, because I didn't really want to have to do this in the first place.
This is
a lot for me. Like, this is really a lot. It's really affected me. And I want to do something once I get my child back for other people to get their children back. And I think in the future, this is going to be something I'm going to have to lean into and try be an advocate for other men
that are in my
position that don't know. A lot of men would just sit there and go, boy, this is...
Because that's what I'm saying, like, you obviously have to finance all yourself, what you're doing at the moment. You're basically just learning as you're going along.
Yeah, of course.
You haven't had no one to go to, so...
Oh, off my own back.
Exactly, so it would be good, and I would love to see that in action. Thank you, man. You get me? Like, you could set up something like that for other fathers, for what they're going through, so I'm definitely going to big you up for that. So how much are we trying to raise at the moment?
So the goal is 8 grand. I believe just touched 4 grand.
So that's happened within 24 hours, right?
Yeah, just over 24 hours. Yeah. It's crazy. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I just spoke to you yesterday.
Yeah, and you see, we was on the phone and I said to you, like, bro, I don't know what's going to happen. Whatever I get is appreciated. And every couple minutes, my phone's been blowing up the past couple of days anyway.
Yeah. But
every couple minutes, I'm checking my phone and I'm like, blood. This is mad. I didn't even think. I thought I was going to have to go. Not like that. I mean, like,
I know you're talking about,
like,
though.
Yeah, I was gonna have to find it by any means necessary and just get out there and do what I've been doing, like I've been doing. So to see the response and the love of people is crazy.
It's good. I said I rate you for what you've been doing right now.
Thank you, bro.
And another thing I was gonna bring to you is, you see, with the legal team,
yeah,
are they able to liaise with the government or? The people in St. Lucia?
So right now, I've got some family members behind me that are trying to use... I come from good family.
Yeah.
I come from a good family who all have good jobs. And I'm just getting there myself.
Yeah.
I've actually managed to come into and be, hopefully soon enough, be on the same level as them. But I've got my family and a couple friends and my long-term partner who, what we're doing is, we're going to, over the next couple of days, I'm going to lay out a proper plan of action. So looking for accommodation, divvying up what needs to be paid for, legal representation, updating the GoFundMe so everyone knows exactly what's going on
and
exactly what I'm going to do. Sorry, my vernacular slipped a bit.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Listen, you can't take the hood out of you, you know.
Yeah, so the next thing, that is it. It's a plan that I'm going to put in motion. Me and my partner are going to sit down, hash out all the details. Whatever we need, we need. Whatever we don't, it's getting back to charity.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I love that. All right, listen. Everyone, obviously, who's watching this pod today, anyone who could even spare anything to help Kane attempt to... I'm not going to say the word attempt, because he's going to get his child back, all right? But with the community support, we need your lot's support to obviously to help him stand an excellent chance of fighting.
Yeah.
So when he's over there, he's got lots of, you know.
Yeah. Lots of ammunition and lots of means to get this done in one pop and bring my child home what she deserves and give her a proper life.
So what we're going to do in this episode, we're going to add the link below.
Yep.
Right. We're also going to add it on our Instagram page as well, so you can obviously click into it. Anything you lot can donate, all right, let's help Kane, man. All right. Kane, just on another note, I was going to ask you another question before we do finish.
Yeah.
Like, mentally in itself, what are you even going through? Just thinking about your own self now.
You know what? I don't want to ham it up.
Mm.
I've been broken. I've got a beautiful partner who, they say you got strong women behind you. I've got a beautiful partner. I have a beautiful mother, I have a beautiful auntie, I have a beautiful grandmother, I've got some good siblings, and I've got a lot of people behind me that have tried their best to keep my head right, because I suffer with mental health myself. I have done, I suffer with depression, partly due to this ongoing situation throughout my life, other things also, but more so this. My mental isn't the best, but I'm going to keep it strong. Because I have to. So I'm not going to ham it up and do the Crimea River. Because as much as men's mental health is very pivotal and very, very in the media right now. And I'm good. I'm good. I'm going to continue to be good because I have to be. But also because I want to be. And I've got good people around me.
I like that, bro. I like that. And just to even echo on that. To even when I spoke to you on the phone yesterday. Yeah. It was just straight. You get me? You were just so happy.
Yeah.
Like, grateful just to say, like, to come on a platform just to come and speak your story for what you're going through to help other fathers, just as well as with yourself and your daughter.
You know what? You got to see. You got to see the beauty in the small things, and the beauty is this.
Mm.
The beauty is every day I wake up and I'm breathing and I can push forward.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty is just to take it on the chin. And sometimes, as much as it may sound a bit archaic, you've got to charge it to the game and keep pushing.
100.
Because if 100. I don't, what's the outcome?
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah.
It's very true, bro. Well, listen, once again, I wanted to say to everyone, donate, man, if you can. Even if it's £1, it's £5, it can be as little. It can be as much as you can afford. Let's give Kane the best opportunity to get his daughter back. All right. Anything to say, bro, before we end up, finish?
Thank you for having me on the platform.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I've got a bit of a screw face sometimes. My mother's always told me my face is hard, but...
That's just come from growing up, man.
Yeah, that's just
come from growing up.
Thank you for every single person, out there on Twitter, on Facebook, people who have shouted me that I ain't spoken to in years. Family members, big up my family. Just thank you to everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm still going to be here and kicking, and I just want to bring my daughter home.
That's it, bro. That's it, man. Well, listen, people, thank you again for watching the Baby Fathers podcast. Definitely been a good episode, a touching episode. And I just like to just say, if you can help, please help. We're going to add the link, as I said to you before, we're going to add the link below. We're going to add the link in the Instagram as well. And across anywhere we can, all our pages, our social platforms, we're going to add the link. And yeah, if you can. All right. So listen, till next time from the Baby Father podcast, we out, man.